and welcome to the Indie Film Review. My name is Jared. I am the host of the Indie Film Review, and with me is the host of the Indie Film Review, Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hello, host of the Indie Film Review. I am also host of the Indie Film Review.
Yes. As host of the Indie Film Review, what are your responsibilities?
To host the Indie Film Review, and that's what they pay me the money for. Yeah.
We also review independent film, do we not? Host of the Independent Film
Well,
Review,
I mean, that goes man? Without saying.
Ah, yes.
But yes, the mission of our podcast is to spread the good word of independent films.
Is that the mission statement?
Yes. Spread the good word of independent films, and also our vision statement is to host the end. This is a tired bit. I feel the bit dying as I'm saying it.
What? I love vision statement. I mean, like, oh, vision statement. We could go and there's like so many fun things. We're going to go on a vision quest. And then you bailed so fucking hard off
because
of this minecart.
I felt the joke die.
Guys, audience, girls. Have you ever felt the joke die in your arms? Just like, no, joke, you were so beautiful.
Joke die in your arms tonight.
So Dan, we do review movies here.
We do. Today we review, or we're going to review, two independent films. One is a short film, the other is a feature-length film.
That's right. I like to call them long films.
Long films.
Yeah, short film, long film, baby.
Anyway, the short film in question is a film entitled Abduction.
So the short film was submitted to us by Adam Mawson, I believe. And he has a YouTube channel that you can check out. It's just his name, Adam Mawson, and Abduction is the name of the film. I'm sorry, I don't know if you said that yet, Dan. Or
I did.
You did? Oh.
Stepping on my toes.
I made a mistake. What's the other film?
The other film is a film by the name of South of Hell.
And that was submitted to us by Squishy Films.
Thank you.
I don't
you,
know why I had to say it
squishy.
Like that. Squishy Films is a good name for a thing.
It really is.
I like it.
We should be squishy. The Squishy Film Review.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you're right. We got to rebrand. Just steal someone else's name. That's us rebranding. Oh, we are now known as the Disney Plus crew, and we're going to review. God. Oh, man. Only Mickey Mouse fail.
Mickey Film Review.
I thought The Mandalorian was great.
Our rebranding is just constantly replacing the first word in our podcast name. Or, like, or Indie Film Review, as in, like, Indiana Jones.
Yes. And our jokes are Pandora's Box. You don't want to open them. Because they're terrible. Okay, so first film we did, Abduction, it's a short film. 15 minutes long. This is a movie.
Holy
Dan,
shit. Yes.
Could you explain what this is without spoiling it?
Yes, it's about a little boy. This is not a spoiler, but it's kind of a spoiler.
Okay.
He's abducted.
No. Say it isn't so.
And he's not really a little boy. He's kind of like a teenager, like an adolescent. On the precipice of, like, maybe 12 or 13, he's getting into his fuck you mom phase.
At what age does a child become something you should protect and enters that age of, like, yeah, you can get abducted. You know what I mean? Like, get the fuck out of here.
12 or 13, like I said.
13? Yeah. Yeah, it's a good cutoff, yeah. I think 8 years old is the sweet spot of, like, you're still adorable, but I can make you do yard work. And I'm into that.
What the fuck?
And pay you like pennies on the dollar.
Indentured servitude. It's okay because you're related to me.
Ooh, we're having fun today, folks. So, Abduction. Dan, I'm going to ask you a really, this is just right into it. Did you like this film?
So I did. I did end up liking this film. Once I figured out the structure of the film, I liked it a lot more because at the beginning I was a little bit confused about what was going on because it is kind of told through flashbacks. I thought that the abduction sequence was actually really cool. I thought it was really well done. And the credit sequence also really stood out to me. So it, as a 15-minute short film, like it's it, and you if you like abduction movies, like, you know, if you're into the X-Files, you'd probably like this movie, I think.
Yeah, I was very impressed by for how low. So do you think micro budget is a better term of like when we find these films that are that are very low? So both of these movies that we're going to talk about today are micro budgets. Yes. Keep that in mind. But I think this indie this abduction movie is good. I liked it a lot, actually. And one of the big things I liked about it is the special effects, practical and otherwise. Because there's certain things where, like, the house is shaking, and they did such a good job of making everything look like it's actually shaking without you knowing what the trickery is or what they're doing. And the special effects, like, with the smoke and I don't know, they made it all look pretty believable.
Well, I mean, the UFO, too. Like,
the UFO.
A UFO is kind of your bread and butter of an abduction story. Like, if you really think about it, anytime that you watch any kind of media that relates to alien abductions, you will see a spaceship flying away from you at least once.
Yeah, and the last time we saw a UFO short, I believe it was on this show.
Visitor in the Dark,
and I liked that one up until they showed the alien, and I started laughing. I mean, I liked it for different reasons after that, but the whole suspense of the alien thing really made me laugh. This did not have a moment like that.
No. It's all mystery, all shrouded in. Well, because I
compelling.
Like it's compelling, and they don't show you the alien. Like in abduction stories, you don't necessarily need to see the alien. It satisfies a curiosity, but well, and speaking of satisfying a curiosity, who, why are we so fascinated by abduction stories, alien abduction stories? Do we secretly want to get abducted ourselves?
Well, it's when you look up into the night sky and see all those stars and think about how small we are compared to the rest of the universe and everything else out there, it's fun to wonder if there's more to our lives than like how mundane and boring.
Right, no, I do not disagree with you in that regard.
Oh, you mean do you want to just like get fucked in the ass by
yes.
a metal alien penis? No, yeah, I think that's it too.
I mean, it's one thing to wonder, like, if we're the only people in the universe, and it's another thing to wonder, I wonder what would happen if they come down and want to take us in their spaceship.
There is a whole genre of alien abduction stories where people swear that they get abducted, and then they have, like, these beautiful, like, Amazon alien-looking women who, like, fuck their brains out, and then they're, like, sick for 3 months. But they're, like, using them as male studs to repopulate their alien race. It's ridiculous and fun.
Well, where are you reading this, for one?
I got my stories.
For two, could you
I'll send you a link. Don't worry.
Send me a link, and then I'll research instructions.
After the podcast, we'll do research. Yep, we're going to do research after the podcast. So, back to this short. The acting was good in this. I thought the dad was really good. I thought the kid was good. All the scenes with, like, the kid getting the firewood, I liked a lot. I thought there was actually some tension there. And, like, when the kid was... Okay, so we're kind of going to spoil it now. We're going to get into spoilers.
Well, it's hard not to...
Yeah, because it's such a short film. Yeah, we have to talk about certain things. But I really like this movie, Abduction. It's on YouTube. You should find it and watch it if you're interested in UFO stuff.
Or short films in general.
Oh, yeah, short. Yeah, if you're short film, this should be in, like, circuits. If they're not doing circuits with this movie already, they probably are. But they should definitely put this in the short film circuit for sure. I think it's definitely worthy of doing that. The little kid was, like, holding this log while he was getting abducted, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, hold on to the log, kid! It's the key! It's the key to everything, you know? Like, that's how you defeat the aliens. And then he dropped that log. He dropped the log.
Terrible. Game.
In more ways than one. And we'll be right back after these messages. How did you feel about the ending and the twist and whatnot?
So basically what happens is the little boy is returned after 5 years.
5 years.
And his mom has since committed suicide, and the dad's just kind of living life. And it ends with the boy showing up at the house, and then a black screen, and then text above the screen that says, these people were abducted during this time and this time, and they were all resurfaced 5 years later. All of them were children.
It was cool. I tried to look up the story. It's totally fake.
Yeah.
It was just made up for the movie. I was like, damn it. It sounded like, was this an actual account of what people were saying that happened, you know, like.
Well, I mean, I do, like, I always like those kind of really spooky kind of mysterious things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
An alien abduction is, yeah, whatever, run of the mill. But whenever they, you know, come back without a trace and with no recollection, that's the spooky shit right
Fuck
there.
Fuck yeah. And I like stuff in movies where they try to Fargo you, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like the beginning, they're like, everything you're about to see is 100% true, and it's all bullshit. Yeah. That's kind of what this movie did at the end, where they're like, and then, like, it's because it had like a text crawl, which was like, oh, because that immediately triggers in your brain, like, oh, this is real, but it's a trick to get you into the movie more, which I liked. I liked it. I liked it.
It tricky to rock the rotten, rotten bitten.
Oh.
It tricky.
Thank you very much, Abduction People, for sending us this. I had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It's good.
Yeah.
So now, Dan, let's get into South of Hell. What is South of Hell about?
All right, South of Hell is, surprisingly to me, because I was not expecting it, an anthology movie.
Yes, very surprised by that.
So basically, it's three vignettes of just fucked up stories that happen, essentially. Wouldn't you agree? And it's all narrated by this Southern hard-ass Dixie Bell-Bottoms kind of woman.
Dixie Bell-Bottoms?
I don't know. She had a shotgun and a cowboy hat.
She's a cowgirl.
She's
with a snakeskin cowboy hat on.
But I wouldn't call her a cowgirl. I would just call her, like, you know, dressed to the fucking Southern Nines.
Dixie and chicks.
Yeah, just.
She really likes playing around with her shotgun. It doesn't seem safe.
Yeah, and pointing it directly at the camera.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start asking each other questions about this movie. Dan, my first question to you.
Yes.
Can a villain be menacing if he has a Crunch gym membership?
No.
That's a trick question because I already knew the answer.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And
we'll get into that story, but there's this guy who's like supposed to be just like a paranoid asshole who like beats his wife up and is very controlling. And they go out of their way to show that he has a Crunch gym membership on his keychain. And I'm like, how is this relevant to the story? Casting is a problem, I think, in this movie. But I'll just say I enjoyed this movie, but not as a horror film. I'll say that.
Well, no, okay, so there are some really interesting things that happen in this film that I was kind of really turned on by. Well, turned on as in, like, cinema turned on, not as in, like, sexually.
Yes, pervert, yeah.
Just gotta make sure everybody knows what I know, you know what I'm saying?
So we're more uncomfortable the longer you talk about
Anyway. So that leads me to my question. What about this film did you really enjoy? Like, is there anything that you can talk about without spoiling it?
Yes. Okay, so there are certain scenes I actually thought were kind of scary. A lot of that was in the first short story, not the intro story, whatever. We'll talk about the intro story. And I honestly think that Squishy Films, if they haven't done it already, they need to just make a comedy film.
Yeah.
Because of the budget, because of, it seems like the actors, I don't know if these are local actors or they're friends or whatever, but, you know, they're coming together, they're making a film, they're having fun. It's easier to make a movie that is a comedy than it is to make a horror, in my opinion, and for a low budget.
So, especially because some of the things in this film, like, came off to me as silly and funny. Like, just the absurdity of it. And I recognize that it could be a bit if they really try to milk it.
Yeah, I was entertained by a lot of things. And sometimes they would go for comedy and I thought it would work. And other times they were trying to be serious.
I don't think,
you're
going to have to point out some of those places where you think they were trying to go for comedy, because I didn't really see them that often.
Okay. I thought so let's talk about the elephant in the room. The audio mix in this is not good. But I will say, we were told ahead of time that this is not the final version of the film, and they are going to remix the audio and fix it.
With that said, I will argue that the audio mix or the sound design improved tremendously over time.
Later on, yes, absolutely, 100% correct.
It's like, largely, it's just the first story, whenever they're in the bar, it's not equalized properly. Like, it needs to be
honestly
layered.
They should just cut that whole scene out. I don't know why it's even in the movie. Like, I don't understand.
They tried to tie it to a later, or an earlier story. Or,
yes,
no, a later
I get
story.
That, but that first part isn't even a story. Like, usually if you do that with the intro, you bookend it at the end, right. You know, so the story wraps up. There's nothing like that there. It was just a couple in a restaurant talking, and then you have the other couple from the next story in the background. And I don't know. I don't think it really...
I didn't even see them in the background.
I didn't know that until I went back to the first story, and I was like, what was the point of the first story? I really didn't understand it. But yes, the audio does get a lot better. Okay, so is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into the meat?
No, I want to get into the meat film. Because there's this... Like, okay, we're getting in the meat. We're going to spoil it, guys. So the first vignette is about a man who takes a girl and woos her into being his girlfriend.
Yes.
As he woos her, he invites her to live with him, and he basically kind of makes her a prisoner in the house by, like, saying, you don't get to leave while I'm at work. And
locks up the house.
It's
the
really
windows,
fucked
yeah.
up in that regard. And one thing leads to another, and he shoots her. And what I want to talk about is the scene after he shoots
yep.
her.
Yep.
Because they have, at one point in the film, they have sex, and they go to the bedroom, and you hear like this thud sound. It's not like a very sex sound. It's just like douche, douche, douche.
It's,
and you're
it's
like,
supposed to imply that they went to have sex. Yeah.
So basically, they fucked. And after he shoots her, he drags her away, and the very next scene is just the door of their bedroom, and you hear that sound again, and you're like, what?
This guy has sex with his dead girlfriend's corpse, and
it's
for
fucking
the tone
crazy.
Of this anthology, it really was out of left field. I did not expect that kind of content. Well, I mean,
I enjoyed it. It was...
If you want to put that in your movie... I'm not saying don't do it. It definitely could have made it work. It's just for what type of film this was, I had no idea this was going to be going in that direction.
Okay,
it
so
really was out of left field.
What do you
field.
Mean? Like, in terms of being an anthology?
Just of how the story was going, the pacing. I'm like, I'm sure, like, someone's going to die and they're going to get haunted or whatever. But, like, fucking a corpse. Well, when do you normally see that in, like, a mainstream... I mean, I know this isn't a mainstream movie.
Okay, so how it
but
probably
could
have... But
my Hindu friend didn't even do that.
How it probably could have been helped is if that story was towards the end, if you're going to put that kind of heavy material in there.
I think what would have helped this story, too, is if they would have played up on how awful a dead... having a fucking corpse in your house would be, and just like the decay and the stink and like how awful, and like if they could really get like a makeup effect artist, you know, to really just make it real gruesome and terrible, and him like hanging out with his corpse and just having it get worse and worse and worse, and then having like start talking to him, you know. But the one thing that they did that I liked was when he was in his car and the lady like shows up in his car and he's like listening to the radio. That shit was actually good because there was like no sound and it just cuts. And then she's like right there. I was like, oh, fuck. I will say for all of these stories, they really need to edit a lot of these scenes. Because like you've said previously, Dan, the type of independent films where they show you every little thing that they're doing.
Yeah, no,
like,
I did notice
I'm
that
getting
in
into
this
my
one.
Car. I am turning my car key. I am going to drive. And then I'm going to stop.
I'm going to be very fair with this. So I did notice that, but it was not the worst offender I have seen. Like, it didn't drive me to a point where I was pissed off at it.
Okay, okay.
But it definitely, like, yeah, edit for time, essentially. The film is already an hour and 16 minutes long, so, like, they could maybe... I'm just thinking, like, if we wanted to be a hour and 30 minutes, there's a lot more, I think, that can be said with all of the vignettes. I feel like you can extend each vignette's story for about 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and you'll have a pretty solid film.
Here's what I want. Character development,
yeah,
I think, because cut out those scenes, and I want to know more about this woman's life. Does she have friends? Does she have family? I want to know about her relationship with her mother. What is her motivation to stay with this guy, even though he is a monster, you know? Why is this blue-collar dude addicted to drugs, and why does he beat his wife and keep her...
And why does he DJ on the side?
Oh my God, we gotta talk... Okay, so the DJ thing was one of the things I think was a joke. There's no way this was... Yeah, because he's like, ah, dude, DJing on the side, and he says... This is a quote. He says, tunes cost fucking money. Tunes cost fucking money.
He's screaming that, actually.
Yeah, in her face.
Well, okay, so the thing that I thought was unintentionally funny was every time she makes him breakfast, he just takes one bite of it and leaves.
One bite and leaves, and it's like one single egg. Who makes one single egg for breakfast?
In a gigantic pan, too. It's like...
It's so wild.
It's like five times the size of an egg.
Every time I see somebody like cooking eggs in a movie, I always think of this like short film that I did a long time ago.
Yeah, no, it reminds me of every student film I ever had to watch in college.
I'm being hard on this movie, but I'm also trying to... I want to steer squishy films in the right direction. Because yes. I think if they should keep making movies...
One might call it constructive criticism.
Yes. These are some of the things that you really have to work on to get these films where you want them to be.
One thing I do want to praise about this film, just kind of going back to your comment about the wife showing up in the car... I think the hallucinations of the wife were pretty creepy.
I think I covered everything I wanted to say about this one.
Yeah, we got two more to get through, so we should...
So, the second story, Dan, what was that about?
Second story is about two twin brothers. Well, one set of twin brothers.
One actor playing two twins,
actor playing twins. They cook meth and sell it to a gang, basically. Shit goes south because the batch is late and the face of the brothers has to go confront the face of the gang while the cook of the brothers is cooking up that meth.
He's got to go to Butt Town to go get more meth supplies.
I knew I heard Butt Town.
Butt Town. Yeah, yes. How is that not a joke? It has to be a joke.
Butt Town.
The gang is called the Hellhounds. They have white t-shirts on.
With like a Pokemon looking.
Yeah. Yeah, they look like Pokemon gym leaders that say Hellhounds.
No,
on
I'm
it.
Saying like the Hellhound, like there's a Pokemon that looks like that Hellhound.
This villain, Bryce.
Is that his name?
Yeah, his name is Bryce, the villain of this story. He's in these like jeans and this silly t-shirt. He's like, and he's got these big Coke bottle glasses. I actually thought that actor did a good job because the more it went on with him, the more I was like, you know what? I kind of believe that he is the leader of this gang and like...
Oh, yeah.
And he would fuck some people up. And now my favorite part of this, which I don't know why they didn't continue with him. La Bola, the luchador.
Oh my God, yeah!
The shirtless man with the luchador mask on is a stroke of fucking genius. And it reminded me of Pulp Fiction with the Gimp. Yeah, like, bring out the Gimp! I don't know why this short film was the shortest of all of them. I don't know why. They could have expanded on this and made it so much more.
They could make a whole vignette about the Gimp. Like, make him the recurring character. Like, vignettes into his life.
Yes! I just want a day in the life of La Bola. And then they made him take his mask off, and I'm like, why would he ever do that? He is a luchador. You did not remove the mask. Keep that mask on. He's the most interesting character. And then he is gone for the rest of the movie. Like, I don't remember what happens to him. He tortures that man, and then he's gone. Right?
Yeah.
They don't show him again. I'm like, what? Underutilized? It's like they had Nick Cage on the... in their film, they're like, Nick, we're just going to have you in the background. We're not going to really use you for any lines or anything. Like, no! Put him in the front! Let him act! Let La Bola do his thing. Oh, I loved everything about that character. He had like these big bushy eyebrows coming through the mask. Oh God, I loved all of it! I like some of the acting from these guys. I thought it was good. Basically, the big gist of it is the brother shows up. They have this huge shootout, which was hilarious to me, because at one point this woman who looks like my friend's mom pulls out a shotgun.
Yeah, that made me laugh a lot.
And
I don't know if it was intentional because
I don't
she
know.
Just she looks like okay, so like the security guards are just the gang members of this gang are kind of older gentlemen, and I thought like one of them, like it was just one of their wives or something. But she fucking pulls out a goddamn shotgun and starts shooting. I'm like, what the fuck?
And I mean, like, if those are the actors that you have for your film, that's fine, because, like, you're making a film, it's fun. I get that. But if that's the types that you have of people who don't look like professional actors, you got to play that up. Like,
yeah, have her cuss at the people. Have her go, you motherfuckers! And
yeah. You could do crazy. Dude, there's so many fun things they could do. And then at the very end, so the brother, he goes and buries his brother or whatever. The brother buries his brother. All right. There's this shot of him back at his house, and it's the front of the house. It's a really cool shot, and the camera kind of pans up, you know, like it's looking over the horizon, and it superimposes all these ghosts of all the dead gang members.
Yeah, that was cool.
And I loved that. I was like, oh, shit, it's going to go down.
He's going to get haunted.
He's going to fight ghost gang members, and it's going to be so cool, and then the short is over.
Yeah.
What the hell? So disappointing, right?
This one definitely left me wanting the most, for sure.
I wanted more of it. I was like, let's go.
I wouldn't have mind like, just the gunfight to go on further. Like, if they had more actors at their disposal, just one dude against the world.
More, because I like the squibs. I loved all of that. Yeah. The special effects were fun. Just focus on more, like, do an action comedy or something, you know? Like, they're doing good in those aspects.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's talk about the third story. Dan, why don't you tell us what the third story is, and I'll
The third story involves co-eds on a high school campus. They are, I guess, rooming together?
Yes.
And one of them decides that she wants to take a self-defense class that's being offered at the college, and all the while they're talking on the phone and walking through the campus, there's a man in a black suit and a black tie. He's just slinking around like a fucking crazy person. And he slinks around for the better part of, I want to say, 8 minutes of
10 years
just following them. It did get a little monotonous, if I have to be honest, but I like this villain because don't understand his motives, and that's a good thing.
I like that actor. I like him. I like everything he did. Every decision he made, I was like, you are the most interesting thing that's going on right now.
Like, it was a new creative villain to me. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
He's so bizarre. So what I want to say about this short, we don't have to go too long on it, is, again, character development. I want to know more about...
No, see, this one I think works without knowing the characters.
Okay.
Because... I feel like I enjoyed this one the most because it was horrifying that this shit actually happens and you don't always need or you don't always get to know like motivation, and perceived motivation kind of brings kind of a catharsis and a mastery. Like, the bad guy's doing bad things because he has this plan and we're going to overthrow him and we're going to stop him from doing bad things. This film doesn't let you have any kind of mastery. The girl dies and we never know why the killer is doing what he does.
Wow, you made a really good point, honestly.
And it stands by itself as like a freaky college kind of scary movie. Like, there's so many like Sorority Row Massacre type movies, but this one it felt like an homage to those kind of movies, but also a refreshing take on those kind of movies.
Mm-hmm. I also want to say I did notice all the little, because they did a really cool job in this anthology of seeding stories within other stories. Like the cigarette case, the red cigarette case shows up in certain stories. Or how
the police detective
from the creepy man in black showed up at the art gallery, or the police detective. Yeah, I liked all that. The villain calls himself Sunny Boy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is an amazing name for the villain. And they should have played up on that more. And I wanted him to say his name more. I'm like, Sunny Boy is a great name for your serial killer.
That, you know, you're right. Like, I feel like that would have improved. Just instead of character development, just make Sunny Boy talking in the third person to his victim.
Fuck yes, dude. And just cut out there's just way too much of them walking and him following them. Way too much of that. So then what would they do to mitigate that and engage you more in the story then?
Shallow character development across more characters.
So should he be kidnapping more girls?
No, he should be stalking the one that he gets.
Okay.
But we should see more co-eds. We should see, like, the more of a realistic college life kind of come to play. Like, maybe they go to a party or a sports event. And
Yeah. Because they had that scene where they were taking a test in the classroom and it was
and
only
there was only
the two girls
people,
in there.
Well, the implication with that is they were, because, like, the professor was kind of looking impatient. They were the last two in the room.
Oh, the last two. Okay.
Well, and, like, I chalked that up to they only had a certain amount of actors. They didn't want to pay for extras.
Yes.
So,
absolutely. No, I totally understand.
But they wrote it off very well.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So, yeah, I guess this last one was the weakest for me, but it seemed like you actually really enjoyed it.
Well, only in that the lack of knowledge about any of the characters made it feel more real and therefore more scary.
Gotcha.
Because shit that, like, let's say in my local college, some co-ed gets murdered on campus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or gets abducted from campus. That's basically what this movie is. It's like there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just I know that this person is abducted and the world is a scary place.
Yeah. There's also a thing with, like, a killer kills Sonny Boy. And there's, a random story of, like, he's just, like, running around just randomly murdering people, which goes into the point of what you were saying, like, how stuff like that is just things that happen, like, there's nothing we can do about it. Thought that was kind of interesting, but also maybe only lasted, like, 3 minutes.
But then what made me upset was they tried to kind of tie it back in with the cowgirl. She tries to tie the movie up in, like, a bow and make it so that it's just packageable, but
it detracts from
the meaning I got out of the story there.
Yeah. I mean, the world is chaos.
Yes.
And all we have is a sexy cowgirl lady to guide us through life.
And point guns at
She
us.
Was great, by the way.
She was.
I really liked her. Every time she showed up, I just had a big smile on my face. I was like, oh, she's
Well, mad. I mean, in terms of being a narrator, she's definitely not the worst one. And, like,
yeah.
I liked what she was saying.
Final thoughts, Dan, on South of Hell.
I'm thinking...
Arby's.
You first, because I'm still formulating my thoughts.
Gotcha. There are things I enjoyed. There are things that I think just from them making more films and continuing with this craft, which I 100% think they should do, that they will get better at. And I am looking forward to seeing more of their films. I want them to send us more films, for sure.
I feel like they have a good sense of storytelling.
Yes.
Squishy films. And I really would like to see what they can do instead of, like, an anthology film. I want to see how they can take a theme and spread it over the course of an entire feature.
A very big positive. Camera work.
Yeah.
No real issues with the camera work. And they're going to fix the sound. So, yeah, keep making movies. I want to see them. That's
keep
all I
guess. Keep making movies and submitting them to us. And while you submit them to us, you can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Facebook at Indie Film Review. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. And you might wonder why I have turned into a Southern gentleman.
Oh, Dan, your breasts are so much bigger now and more exposed for my pleasure.
A Southern gentleman does not have breasts.
Oh, you're a gentleman.
Anywho,
oh, no.
You can also find us on that Necropodican network where a bunch of wonderful, wonderful podcasts and pods. We have D&Ds. We have film reviews, and we have a bunch of more films on the shows on the horizon.
Damn. One quick thing, necropodicon.com. If you go to the site, there's a link to click on the Discord. Do it. Have
Do
fun.
It.
Come say hello to us.
Yeah, you can talk to me and my beautiful Southern Belle accent.
Oh. You can talk to me and I'll be normal. Don't worry. I'll be a normal human being. But it's super fun there. It's very active, and we just talk about whatever. There's even like a little forum where you can post pictures of your animals, and it's probably my favorite forum.
Exactly.
I love that shit.
Because we all need to have animal pictures in our lives. It's how we get through the fucking day.
That's right. That's right. The monotony of life. All right, and now you can do the final word.
Whenever I grow up, I'm going to be the mayor of Butt Town.
Do you like creativity?
Do you like bad creativity?
Then have we got a podcast for you. I'm Emily Holman.
I'm Erica Scott.
And Grow Out of It is a podcast about laughing at, learning from, and loving our creative childhood selves. Join us as we read and review the embarrassing fiction we wrote in our youth and totally make fun of how bad it is. We've got warrior cats.
We've got vampires.
We've got assassins.
And we've got shitty romances. If you want cringy stories, check out Grow Out of It on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Part of the Necropodicon Network.